If you could find our texts in Romans chapter 4, verses 16, 17, and 18. Romans chapter 4, verses 16, 17, and 18. If you're able to stand, would you please stand? I'll read the scriptures audibly, and then I'll ask God's blessing on our time together as we try to unpack these verses and see what God is saying to us. Romans 4:16. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. And finally, verse 18, in hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. Amen. Our Father, we humble ourselves and bow before you now. On behalf of these, your people, I ask you to help us understand the truth of your word today. I ask you to use this old lump of clay to communicate the truth that you would have your people to know today. May it please you to speak to us all, Lord. Speak. We, your people, listen. We want to hear from our God today. And then, Lord, would you grant us wisdom to apply these truths rightly to our lives, and then the grace to obey you for your glory, for the good of our own souls, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Our subject for today is Father Abraham. And I want you to remember that we've, for the past several months, I didn't go back to look at the time frame exactly, but for probably about a year, so we've looked at redemptive humanity, how God redeemed humanity from Adam to Abraham. You may remember as we have studied Genesis together, and then we see that the New Testament speaks of many encouraging people of faith. Abel, I've just mentioned a few of them here. Abel and Enoch and Noah and Isaac and Jacob and I didn't mention, you know, Rachel and Sarah and so many others. Moses. The Bible just speaks encouragingly of these models, these people of faith, right? And the Bible clearly says to us that these things were written for our learning. And so God has left these living, these real, if you will, examples of faith for us to learn from. However, Abraham is consistently held up as the model. When you read your Bible in the Old and the New Testament, Abraham is consistently held up in the model. And the New Testament is where we find Abraham called the father of us all. He is the only one that's called the father of us all in faith. And it's not to say that Abraham is the only one that believed God, but he modeled faith for us. He's the one that God said that he believed God, and it was assigned, it was counted to him as what? As righteousness, okay? And so there is something for us to learn from all, but I have chosen Abraham to, if you will, provide a bridge for us. I want to bridge now the Old Testament, where we've been studying for the past year or so, and I want to now bridge
the Old Testament with the New Testament. Okay, so Abraham will carry us from the Old Testament into the New, because y'all might remember that what we're going to try to do for maybe the next year is to, we've looked at the beginning, we want to now try to move toward the end, okay, and to see that once you understand the beginning, it ought to better help you understand the end, okay? So God has this wonderful redemptive plan. It's all about, see, from Adam onward, God has been redeeming his people, right? I mean, it's a drama. It's all kind of drama surrounding it. But God never loses focus. Isn't that wonderful? God never loses his perspective. He knows exactly what he's doing. And regardless of what man is doing, you and I have to be focused on what God is doing. Because God is the one working out his plan, right? And so we're going to use Abraham to try to bridge this link for us. And today, I've got just two big thoughts that I want us to entertain. I want to look at Abraham in the Old Testament and see how that will help us lay hold of Abraham in the New Testament, and how he is modeling for us a life, just as this life of faith carried him to the end, he's modeled for us this life of faith that will help carry us to the end. And the issue is not whether Christ will come back in our lifetime. We need to live in faith until we die. Amen. Every day is to be a life, just like Abraham. He lived in faith until he breathed his last. And obviously, I told you there are many others, but the Bible uses Abraham as the father for us all. So we're going to think about Father Abraham today. All right, can we do that? So let's begin by looking at Abraham in the Old Testament. The first thing I want you to notice is that faith in God is what saved Abraham. Can you find Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 7? Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 7. Maybe a little bit challenging, but you can find Kings and Chronicles and Ezra and then Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse number 7. You are the Lord, the God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. Now this is wonderful. God saved Abraham out of an unbelieving culture. He saved Abraham out of an idolatrous culture, out of an idolatrous society. So that you see, Abraham was just like you and me. He was in the midst of sinners, right? He grew up in the midst of sinners, in the midst of idolaters and unbelieving people. And God reached in there and saved him, just like he did for you and me in the midst of our family and our circumstances and our situations, right? So, again, you see the model here. And this is a wonderful word. You see the word chose? You've heard that word before. That's redemptive terminology. Choice. That's a God's mighty sovereign electing work. God chose Abraham. He passed over many people, but he didn't pass over Abraham. He passed over many people in your family, in my family, but he didn't pass over you. So this is a wonderful model for you and I to see that we are blessed. God chose Abraham just as he what? Chose us. Amen. And so faith in God saved him. And you'll notice, and I'll tell you what I'm doing here. I've just selected a few places in the Old Testament where it specifically speaks of Abraham in these ways. Now, could you find Isaiah 29 and verse 22? Isaiah 29 and verse 22. So not only do we see that God saved him out of an unbelieving and idolatrous culture, but I want you to notice God brought him, he delivered him out of his sins. Isaiah 29:22. Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall no more be ashamed, no more shall his face grow pale. Again, this is a wonderful word to the believer to see God redeemed Abraham. God delivered him. You see that? God delivered him out of his sins, and he'll deliver any and every sinner. What? The same way out of our sin. And if you're a Christian, you know that. He delivered you out of your sins. He found me when I was a sinner, right? I didn't get cleaned up to come to God. He found me as a sinner. He delivered me from my sin, out of my sin. Thank God for that. And Colossians 1 said he delivered us out of the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that the way it happened? Yes, he delivered me out of that darkness. It didn't seem like darkness to me until he brought me into the kingdom of his Son. And when I got in the kingdom of light, I could look back and see it was darkness. And I can see that in Christ I have redemption, forgiveness of my sins. No longer do I have to work and strive and try to find a way to have my sins forgiven. It's when Jesus said it's finished, it was finished. God brought me out and I'm out. Isn't that good? Just like he did for Abraham. Just like he did for Abraham. And so faith in God saved him. And you can see again why that should be a model for us. The next thing I want you to notice as we look at Abraham in the Old Testament is that faith in God sustained him. Another Old Testament book, can you find Joshua? Joshua 24. Go back toward Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then you'll find Joshua. Go to the end of the book, Joshua 24. We're going to look at verses 2 and 3.
Okay.
Joshua 24, 2 and 3. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac." Now, what's happening here? I believe that what we see modeled here for us as we look at how faith sustained Abraham is that Abraham, God enabled Abraham to maintain his faith in the only true God in the midst of all of this idolatry, in the midst of a polytheistic culture. You heard that word? Poly, many theistic gods. In the midst of a culture that where there were many gods, God helped Abraham to keep his faith in the what? The one true God, right? You see how verse 2 reads? He says, "Long ago, the God of Israel, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, and they served other gods." And so Abraham grew up in a culture, in a polytheistic culture, right? They served other gods, but God brought him to believe in the one true God. Just like you and I. You and I have been exposed to a lot of different false religions. You know, depending upon where you grew up, it was different kinds. But God broke through all of that, right? He said, you'll what? Know the truth, and the truth will make you free, right? You and I got set free when we finally knew the only true religion is faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, and God has sustained us. Not a one of us has turned back. No true believer ever turns back to false religion again if you've been brought out. You see, when God brings you out of darkness into light, you never go back into darkness. Right? Once your eyes are opened, and that's what we see with Father Abraham, is that God sustained, once he brought him out, he sustained him. God had to. God sent Abraham into, it says, all the land of Canaan. Y'all remember the stories? He went into all of these cultures where they worshipped all kinds of gods, but they never turned him. It's like This situation, you all know the woman Miriam under duress now in the African country, the Muslim country, you know, there where she's under a death threat now to be killed because she won't recant Christianity and convert to the Muslim religion. That's true Christianity. It's true Christianity. Abraham was not going back. And when you read the accounts, though the Bible doesn't detail this, but when you read the accounts of the way Christians were treated in the first century, thrown the lions, and these are all Christians, because they would not bow down to Caesar. They would not convert to a false god. Thrown the lions, pulled apart between horses, you know, tarred and burned as torches at night and skinned alive. Why? How could they do that? Because the same faith that sustained Abraham sustained them, and it will sustain you and me. This is true religion. This is true faith, right? That's the reason he's our model. And you also see that Abraham learned that God was trustworthy. Now, another kind of challenging book. This is the last one in the Old Testament, okay? So try to find Micah. Can you find Micah? It's after the big, the major prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And a little trick that I use, how Joel and old Jonah made new happiness. This is one of the little slogans that I use to help me find these Old Testament books. But after Jonah, then you have Micah. Micah chapter 7, verses 18, 19, and 20. The three last verses in the book. Micah chapter 7, verses 18, 19, and 20. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. And finally, verse 20. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. What's the point? I'm saying to you that Abraham learned that God was trustworthy, right? He learned that God was trustworthy because of his character. His character did not change. How does the Bible say, what does it describe God? I, the Lord, what? Change not. He does not, a theological term, he's immutable. He has no reason to change. He is perfection. There is no error. There's no sin. There's no reason. He never makes an error. He never makes a mistake. And so there's no reason for God to change, right? And so Abraham learned to trust in God's immutable character. That's the reason he could say, you will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love. That's unchanging love. You and I, that's what you and I depend upon, right? We depend upon the fact that God is consistent. God is faithful when I am not. Yes? When I fail, he does not. I depend upon him for mercy because I've got nothing to negotiate with. He's been merciful in the past, and I depend on him upon him not to change, right? I don't use that as an excuse to sin, but I'm thankful for that when I do. He's the same God dealt with Abraham. And we've covered Abraham's life. You saw how he failed. He failed miserably. As a man of faith, but God didn't give up on him. God was merciful to him. He showed what? You see how he says it here? You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers. When God commits himself to us, he does not change his mind. Amen. God counted the cost for us before he ever saved us. Isn't that good? Yes, yes, yes. Abraham learned to trust God for mercy. after all of the times that he fell so miserably, and he's faithful. God is faithful even when we are not. So what I'd say to you is, from his conversion to the last mention of Abraham in the Old Testament, he is a man of faith. Okay? So that's what I want you to remember. That's Abraham in the Old Testament. He was saved by faith, just like you and I are saved by faith. He was sustained by faith, just like what? You and I are sustained by faith. There's no magic going on here. This is the way, this is the life of a believer. It has always been this way. And Abraham stands as a model for us to show us there's no secret going on here. This is the way believers live, okay? And you see this man of faith in his times of weaknesses. You see him in his failures and in his successes. And it's always as he trusts God, right? So then lastly, I want to look at Abraham in the New Testament. And I want to just, again, these are just brief snapshots to kind of help us bridge the gap. And we'll pick this up in the New Testament as we go forward. Abraham in the New Testament, then. I want you to notice that the New Testament says Abraham has many descendants. Okay? Now first, can you find Acts 13? Now these will be easy. Okay, Acts 13 is the first place we want to visit, because I want you to see that there are many natural and spiritual descendants of Abraham mentioned in the New Testament. First of all, we got these natural descendants, the Jews, all right, or the Israelites. You got Acts 13? Look at verse 16. Here we're going to find Paul here now as he comes to Antioch, all right? And in Antioch, as he does with the cities, this is his pattern when he goes to cities on his tours. He goes to the synagogue first, right? To the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And so he follows this pattern. So here at Antioch, he goes to the synagogue to bring the gospel to the Jew. You got that? And so you see verse 16, they've asked Paul if he has a word for them. Verse 16, so Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, men of Israel and you who fear God. He is speaking to what? Israelites, to Jews. Now you go over to verse 26. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. God has sent the message of salvation to Jews, to those who were ethnic Jews, who were Israelites, okay? And so these are among the many descendants of Abraham spoken of in the New Testament. One other passage real quick, can you find the book of Hebrews? The book of Hebrews tells us that Levitical priests were also descendants of Abraham. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number, I'll read 4 and 5. You got it? Hebrews 7, I'll read 4 and 5. See how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people. That is, from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham, okay? And so, rather than going back to Levi, y'all know that Levi was one of the 12 brothers, the 12 sons of Jacob, right, of Israel. But you notice that this author didn't trace the Levitical priesthood back to Levi. He went all the way back to who? To Abraham, because Abraham is the father of Israel, okay? Both natural Israel and spiritual Israel, and I've been waiting to get to this. And this is how you and I get considered as a part of the family of Abraham. We are not Jews. Now, thank God there are some believing Jews, but all believers are members of the family of Abraham, right? You remember the passage we read at the beginning? Can you go back there? Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 16. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also because then all believers are members of the family. Galatians 3 says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, right? You are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. And so when we are in Christ, we become his descendant. Why? Because he has modeled faith for us. And when you and I live out the same life of faith, we become his children. He is the father. You remember what Jordan said early on? We look to what? Our parents to model for us what it means to trust. Well, Abraham has modeled for you and I what it means to trust God. Therefore, he becomes our spiritual what? Father. Right? Isn't that wonderful? And that's how you and I get, if you will, grafted into this wonderful family of God by faith. By faith, then, we join ourselves with so many Christians throughout the generations. You know, when you read the book of Revelation and you see this multitude of saints there that cannot be numbered from every tribe, every race, every creed, all right, from all generations. The point is that God saves people in all places, at all times, in all manners of circumstances. And then as we leave this whole issue of descendants, you'll notice that the Bible also says that Jesus Christ is considered to be a descendant of Abraham. Matthew 1:1. And of course, that would be so because God had promised him that through Abraham, all the nations would be blessed, right? And you and I know that that's through Christ. Christ is the blesser. He's the basis of blessing for all of humanity, those who will believe, right? The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, amen. Jesus Christ is also a descendant of Abraham. So not only the one of the fundamentals of looking at Abraham in the New Testament is that there are many descendants, but then lastly, I want you to notice that there are also many blessings to those descendants in the New Testament. Can you find Galatians chapter 3? Galatians chapter 3. This is going to tie together for us that the fact that there are many blessings for the spiritual descendants of Abraham in this present time. In this present time, there are blessings given to us simply because we are descendants of Father Abraham. Genesis 3:5. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. That is right there. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. You and I are blessed because we join Abraham in the same faith that he had, right? Because we join Abraham in the same faith, you and I are given wisdom from God. You and I are given guidance. You and I are given help in our time of need. You and I are given spiritual gifts to help us serve God. You and I are actually given opportunities to serve God because we are in the family of God. We are among those who are of faith, who are born into the family by faith. And so all of these wonderful blessings in this present time come to us because we are in God's family by faith. And then the last thing I want you to notice is that the blessings are not just for this life. I need to do two things right now. I need you to do two things. Can you find Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11? And then Luke chapter 16 and verse beginning at verse 19. Luke 16. And then Matthew 8. Hold your place at Luke 16. We're going to read Matthew 8 first. Matthew 8, 11. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So, why did I want to read that? That's the context for what we're about to read. Remember, the context is that we've got the saints of God sitting down at a feast. Okay? Don't miss that. The saints of God are sitting down at a feast. You got Luke 16? Now, you've read this before, but I hope that it makes that it becomes clear to you now. Luke 16 and verse 19. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. At his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not do so and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." Now, what does all that mean? I want you to see in this truth, this story given to us, truthful story, that God is painting for us a picture of the future. Okay? He's telling us the story of two people that died. One was a very wealthy unbeliever. The other was a very poor believer. Okay? And the rich man is simply called the rich man. But Lazarus was, though he trusted God, had a difficult time in life, right? And you notice that the rich man had his feast in this life. He was eating and feasting, what? Sumptuously. Lazarus was hungry and unhealthy and just in misery all life. But then the Bible says, you notice, the Bible says, Lazarus died and he was carried away to Abraham's side. Doesn't even say that Lazarus had a funeral. Says that the rich man died and he had a wonderful funeral. He was buried. But he lifted up his eyes, not at Abraham's side, but he lifted up his eyes in Hades, right? Now, what do we see here? The picture is Abraham. You remember the feast we just read about? Abraham is seated in heavenly places, feasting. Lazarus is there feasting with him. The rich man who used to feast sumptuously and have a wonderful life in this life is now in Hades, hungry and thirsty. Right? And he's begging Father Abraham to just get a what? A drop of water. Now, what's the point? The point is that there are blessings not just in this life for those of us who follow Father Abraham. There are blessings in the next life. Amen. And they are wonderful blessings. We're going to sit around. This is all a picture. But we're going to feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and all the saints of old. We're going to feast together and enjoy our time in glory while those who did not believe are going to be in misery and pain and agony. And so what we have here is a wonderful promise of future blessings to all who die in faith and a severe warning of a future filled with eternal misery for all who die in their sins without Christ. And so for you, what I want you to see is that in the New Testament, Abraham has many descendants. And there are many blessings for those descendants. And so all of God's children in faith are blessed just as Abraham was blessed by God. God is no respecter of persons. When you look at Abraham and what God did for him, he did that for him because he trusted him, because Abraham trusted God. And my brother, my sister, if you will trust him, God will be just as faithful to you. Father Abraham is presented in the scriptures as a man who trusted God for salvation. He's presented as a man who trusted God throughout all of his life, and he's presented as a man who trusted God on into eternity. Abraham was a man who learned that nothing is impossible for God, and no sacrifice is too great for our God, right? He had to learn that. You and I must learn that likewise. He learned that God is faithful and God is able to fulfill any and every promise that he has ever made without exception. So then, how can Father Abraham help us today? That's what I want you to think about. How can he help us today? What can we learn from Father Abraham today? I want to give you a few concluding thoughts. And I hope that we can meditate on these together. Most assuredly, then, we can learn that there's only one way to be saved. We are saved just like Abraham was saved, right? There's only one way of salvation, and you must trust God. Abraham trusted God, the Bible says, and God counted that to him as what? Righteousness. There's no other way to be saved. There's no other way to have righteousness brought into our bankrupt lives other than to trust God, right? And he has provided that way. He, just as Abraham looked to God to provide the lamb, you have to look to God to provide the lamb, and he's already done it. The Lamb of God has already come. Jesus has already died. He has already paid for your sins, and you have to trust him just as Abraham trusted. The Lamb of God had not come when Abraham lived. God trusted that God would send him, just as he sent that lamb on that mountain. God trusted that God would send the right lamb at the right time to save him in the future. That future hope saved Abraham. You and I know that God has already sent him. And so we look back on that great reality, and that saves us. There's only one way to be saved. We learn that from Father Abraham, and you must trust God. We also learn that God is faithful to keep us from being deceived in this idolatrous and polytheistic world, right? He kept Abraham, and he can keep us. I know that we've got all sorts of confusion coming our way. all sorts of books being written, all sorts of videos being made, all sorts of people on the radio and television that are saying things that are really confusing. But God is able to, do you believe that? God is able to keep us in the midst of all of this convoluted religion. He'll help us stay pure and stay true to Him. Yes, He will. Don't fear. Do not fear. He'll give you the wisdom and discernment to know true biblical religion from false religion. True biblical religion from idolatry. Like Abraham, we must also learn that God has children in every generation. God has children in every race, from every gender, from each gender. Let me be clear about that. There's only two genders. This world, isn't it amazing that this world is trying to confuse that? There's only two genders, male and female. That's the way God made it. But God says, without respect of gender, from every socioeconomic position, God is not biased. Abraham had to learn that. You and I have to learn that. As children of God, you and I must learn that God provides all our needs. Yes, He does. The Lord is the good shepherd, right? David said, the Lord is what? My shepherd. I shall not want. Like Abraham, we must learn that the Lord will protect us in danger, and He'll bring us safely through this life into eternity, where we will live with Him and be blessed with Him. Therefore, my brother, my sister, like Father Abraham, we have hope today, right? We learn from Abraham that we can have hope regardless of our past failures. Regardless of our past successes, we can have hope. We can have hope today. Regardless of our past sins and disasters, Abraham had some awful sins, right? And some awful disasters, but God brought him through. He could trust in God's what? Steadfast love. Didn't we just read that? You can trust in God's steadfast love. Regardless of our weaknesses and the shame that you may have brought to Christ's name, God is still faithful. God delivered Father Abraham, and He will deliver you because God is faithful. So even if you have been afflicted, you're not crushed. Even if you have been perplexed, you're not driven to despair. Even if you have been persecuted, you've not been forsaken. Even if you have been struck down, you have not been destroyed. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He'll not fail you. God was faithful to Father Abraham and to every saint who's lived since Father Abraham, and He will be faithful to you. Father, as we bow together now, I just ask You to seal these truths to our heart. Help us to live the same life of faith without fear, without doubting, without worry. just help us to trust You. With all our hearts, and not lean to our understanding. I thank You for helping us to persevere today, Lord, in the midst of every challenge, every difficulty, every problem. I'm thankful that You, as You were faithful to Father Abraham, You've been faithful to us today. And now would You draw near to us as we take time to think about these realities. Make Your presence and power known. And complete Your work and do Your will in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.